I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning. We're glad to welcome visitors and guests whom we have with us. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll come back. I also am going to point out a couple of very special guests. You know, you're getting to know our new seminarian, Logan, and his wife, Allison. Well, Logan's parents are here with us today. We're glad to welcome them. And also, I'll let you know, that's what the green and red cards in your bulletin are for. When Logan does something, hold up the green or red, you know. No, not really. Anyway, welcome. There are a number of important announcements in your Go and Serve. I do encourage you to read them, just not during the sermon, please. Also, I'll remind you that estimate of giving cards, which we collected last week, if you haven't turned those in and would like to, you can turn them into the church office or through the offering plate. And if you forgot yours, there are extras in the narthex, and you can feel free to grab one there. Sarah. Column is what I'm saying. See how nice I was? I was going to let her get away without asking anything at all this time. Let us prepare for our worship.
Thank you.
Rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it out. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right, and by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Be seated, and would the children please come forward? Good morning, guys. You know what? Somebody snuck in church that I didn't see earlier. You forgot her name, but you're right. No, I'm just going to tell everybody, because they probably haven't seen it, that Molly is back with us too. Hey, Molly. Yeah. Oh, her. Yeah. So anyway, today I wanted to talk to you about my flashlight. You like flashlights? Well, just a minute. You can see it in just a minute, because this is my favorite flashlight, because you can look. You see how many light bulbs it has? It puts out a lot of light. That's a lot. See how much light? I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 light bulbs in there. Wow. That puts out a lot of light. You want to see how much light it puts out?
Yes.
All right, there's a button right here on the back. That's what you do. There, I turned it on.
No, it's not. There's
no batteries. You mean, well, I bought this and it didn't say I had to have batteries, did it? Sure. You try to make it work.
No batteries.
You mean you have to have these?
Yes.
You think it's going to work now? It doesn't matter. You want me to do it? I think you got it now. It's working. All right. All right, let me see. That was the problem. Yes. It doesn't work if you don't have the batteries in it. So you can have a flashlight, and there's still something else you've got to have to make it work, right?
Batteries.
Batteries.
Unless it's one that doesn't need it.
You have a flashlight that doesn't need batteries?
An
electric battery. Yeah.
Don't need to be changed every single week.
Okay. Well, I guess. So I'm just saying, here I had a flashlight that didn't work, and it had to have batteries to work. Well, today in our gospel lesson, it's going to talk about Jesus being the cornerstone. And that's the Bible's way of saying, you got to have Jesus, just like you got to have batteries for
Jesus, like this cross.
That's right. For the flashlight to work, it has to have batteries. For our Christian faith to work, we've got to have Jesus. Yes, ma'am. No. That was an easy answer. So that's what I want you to remember, is we have to have Jesus in our hearts for our faith to live, just like you have to have batteries in a flashlight for the flashlight to work. Okay. Yep. All right. Let's have our prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our light. Be in our hearts so that our faith lives always. Amen. All right, go in
peace.
Nope. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
The first lesson is a reading from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is a reading from Philippians. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made it his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press onward toward the goal for that prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scripture, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A woman was just gathering her things at the end of the flight when she heard a mother telling her 8-year-old son what to do when he got off the plane. "Now remember," she said, "run to dad first and then the dog." It's not hard to imagine that scenario. And it's an easy reminder that we need to have our priorities in order. That's what the Beale Cipher has come to be about too. You may remember the Beale Cipher. I've told you about it once before, but here's the story. In 1885, a man named James Ward published a pamphlet that describes something called the Beale Cipher. According to the story told in the pamphlet, in 1817, a man named Thomas J. Beale had led a group of 30 men on a buffalo hunt in northern New Mexico. While they were out west, instead of buffalo, they discovered a rich vein of gold and gave up hunting in favor of mining. It wasn't long before they had a large amount of gold, and they began to discuss among themselves where they could store it. The Wild West didn't seem safe, and if they hid it somewhere local, any of them could be forced to reveal where it was concealed. And so they decided to move it all by wagon back to Virginia. They buried it in iron pots in a secret vault 6 feet beneath the ground. The treasure consisted of 2,921 pounds of gold, as well as more than 5,000 pounds of silver. Some experts value this treasure at more than $30 million today. The men entrusted their secret to Robert Morris of Lynchburg, Virginia, while they went back west to get even more. They left him with a strong box containing instructions and some coded documents or ciphers. He was not to open the box for 10 years, and then, if the men hadn't returned, he was to distribute the treasure among the surviving relatives of the men. According to this story, the men never returned, and when Morris opened the box, he found three cryptograms. Each sheet was a series of numbers, and that was all. In spite of his efforts to solve the code, Morris never did, eventually passing it on to Ward, who published the pamphlet about it. Now, Ward was able to decode the first document. By numbering the words of the Declaration of Independence and writing down the word each number in the cryptogram referred to, he decoded a list of what was in the vault. The second cipher was to tell the location, and the third was the list of men involved. However, in all the time since, no one has ever been able to decode either of the other two documents. Not that they haven't tried. Many have dedicated countless hours and expense in trying to find this treasure. Many others think it's all a hoax because nothing has ever been found. There are no records of a Thomas Beale living in the area at any time, and some dates in the story are clearly wrong. Nevertheless, people have lost their lives, their fortunes, and their families in the search for this priceless treasure. So far, they have found nothing at all and don't even know where to look. What all this really points to is that sometimes we can get pretty misguided about what is truly valuable in life. Today, St. Paul reminds us that the most valuable thing of all is Jesus. In his letter to the Philippians, he puts it this way: whatever gains I had, I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. The most valuable thing to Paul wasn't his bank account or his stock portfolio or a possession. The most valuable thing was the surpassing value of having Christ Jesus as his Lord. That's the very foundation of our faith. We belong to Christ. He gave his all for us in love and mercy and grace. And in response, we live lives of faith. And as we gather around God's altar, we are reminded and claimed again. The meal makes real in our lives his forgiveness and salvation. The body of Christ given is for you. The blood of Christ shed is for you. What an incredible gift of grace. And nothing is more important. We love because God first loved us. We give because God has first given to us. We live in joy because belonging to Christ Jesus is the surpassing value of all. Oh, people of God, we may be chasing our own Beale ciphers, but in the end, they are empty. Run to Daddy first, God our Father, who has made us His forever. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. O bread of life from heaven, how well you do feed us, your guests, here at your table. How much we need and depend on your mercy and grace. How often we hunger for your presence given to us in this bread and wine. How thankful we are to receive your grace and your love. Bring us to your table often, Lord Jesus. Fill our lives with strength and faith that we may make our lives a sacrifice of witness and service for you. Lord, in your mercy, be near us always, Lord Jesus. There are so many times when we are weak in our trust, when we fail our faith, when we crumble under the assaults of doubt and fear. In those times, help us to see you. Encourage us to lean on you. Fill our hearts with courage and boldness that we may claim you as ours because you have claimed us as yours. Lord, in your mercy, O healer of hurts and righter of wrongs, we know how weak and frail we are. So many of us suffer from illness or sorrow. So many have lost hope or struggle for direction in life. So many hunger for food or what might seem to us the basic necessities. So many see only violence and ugliness in life and turn in bitterness toward others. Heal us, Father. Bring your hand of love to all in need. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God, make us instruments of your will. Use our hands as your hands. As we walk through life, help us to see and hear with your heart. Over and over, may we respond to your grace by saying, "Here I am, send me." Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace. Thank you.
us pray. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and of our labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thank you. Lord.